the gang that couldn't shoot straight. The Mail Order Murders. South Florida Sun Sentinel, October 4th, 1987. It would have been comical if it hadn't been so deadly, if lives hadn't been mercilessly ended or at the very least haunted by terror. They were called the gang that couldn't shoot straight, yet they were a gang that had so many shots they were bound to hit their targets sometimes, and people were bound to die. For months, they tried to kill Doug Norwood, but whether they came at him with machine guns or bombs or stun guns, they always managed to screw up. The same thing with Dana Free. Three times they missed. And when it came time to kill Victoria Barshear, well, the gang just decided she was too pretty to die. Those were some of the gaffes that made them laughable. But there was nothing laughable about what happened to Richard Braun and Anita Spearman. They killed Braun, though it took two tries, in the front yard of his home. It took only one visit from the gang, and Anita Spearman was left dead in her bed. They were want-ad killers, a gang of losers, social outcasts, and law enforcement washouts, headed by a man with the seemingly appropriate name of Richard Savage. They picked their targets from West Palm Beach to St. Paul, their clients from the Atlantic to the Rockies. It was nothing personal. In a sleazy Tennessee bar where strippers danced, the gang plotted the deaths of people they'd never even seen. Anita Spearman, the well-known and well-liked assistant city manager in West Palm Beach. Doug Norwood, a law student in Arkansas. Dana Free, a contractor in Georgia. And others, many others. They pictured themselves as guns for hire. One day, barroom bouncers, the next day, cross-country contract killers. No job too big or too small. One member helped a man put a bomb on a plane loaded with 154 people. One shot down a man in his driveway while his son watched in horror. Another threw grenades into a home where a 14-year-old and his mother were sleeping. Their crimes were spread across the country to avoid a pattern of terror that might aid the police in their investigations. What did the bombing of a businessman's van in Atlanta have to do with a suitcase explosion in the cargo hold of a jet in Dallas? What could the arson of a poultry plant in Iowa have in common with the murder of a city official in Palm Beach County? Seemingly, the answer would be nothing. The question's not even considered. Even so, in less than a year, a far-flung network of investigative agencies working on the many separate cases found the common denominator in the back pages of a magazine published for gun and battle buffs. From there, the investigators picked up the pieces of the puzzle and put it together. Even today, they feel lucky about it.